You know, the theme of our text this morning is joy, obviously. I was talking to Dave a little while ago about why I concentrated just on two short verses out of two different epistles, is because I really wanted to target, you know, there's a shotgun approach and then there's a rifle approach. And I wanted a rifle approach this morning to really focus on that theme of joy. You know, here on Main Street, there are benches along the sidewalk so people could sit down and enjoy our beautiful Main Street here in Patchogue. And there was a boy with a dog seated on one of the benches. And a man walked by, and he asked the boy, "Does your dog bite?" And the boy said, "No." So the man went to pet the dog. The dog bit his hand. He said, "I thought you said your dog doesn't bite." The boy says, "It's not my dog." See, I got some laughs this morning. It's joy. It's joyful. We can laugh. We could have joy and fun in church because we're joyous people. Why I bring that up, there's been a lot of coverage about appointments, selection, and confirmation of Supreme Court justices in recent times. And being a history buff, I want to just highlight one particular Chief Justice, Oliver Wendell Holmes, a very famous justice on the Supreme Court who served the Supreme Court for 30 years. And at one point in his life, Justice Holmes explained why he chose the career that he did. But it's interesting, he was interested in another career, and he chose not to take that route. Let me read his words. "I might have entered the ministry as a pastor if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers." He said, "So where is the joy? Where is the always rejoicing in the Lord? Where is the always giving praise with joy in our hearts for the great things God has done in our lives?" You see, Oliver Wendell Holmes attended a church where the minister looked like he needed to be resuscitated. And so he said, "Even though I have a call on my life to be a pastor, I don't think so, if that's what it's going to look like." The joy of the Lord. If there's any characteristic that should embrace the Christian, it should be joy. People should see joy in us when we are out there in the world. I don't mean a make-believe joy. I don't mean some kind of hypocritical joy. I'm talking about a real sense of joy because of who we are and whose we are in Christ Jesus. So the Apostle Paul, he writes in our text, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances," he says, "for this is God's will for you and for me in Christ Jesus." Be joyful always. Even Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 13, he says, "I came in the world that you might experience the fullness of joy that I receive from my Father who's on high." Joy. You know, the original Greek joy, it means cheerful. It means to be a cheerful person. So when people see us, do they see a cheerful person? And I think that's what Paul is talking about. Jesus taught his disciples that they were to be joyful, not because of their circumstances. In spite of their circumstances, be joyful, because Jesus knew that his disciples were going to face a lot of trials, a lot of challenges, a lot of persecution, a lot of hard times. He knew that was coming their way. So he said, if you just base your joy on your circumstances, you're going to experience very little joy in your life. And so he encouraged them not to do that. Paul never prayed, by the way, never, that we wouldn't have problems. You could read all the epistles. He never prayed that we would not have problems in our lives. What he did say was that we could face our problems with Christ and be an overcomer because we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. See, we're all going to have problems. Some of us have more problems than others. But he never prayed that. Jesus constantly reminds us through Scripture as to who we are in Him. We have a birthright as a child of God, and part of that birthright that we receive is unspeakable joy. Unspeakable joy. I want to share a story with you, if I may, and some of you may know her. I don't mean personally, but you know about her, and maybe you've heard of her, Johnny Erickson Tada. A beautiful woman. She's a keynote speaker at women's conferences all over the country and the world, for that matter. She's an author, she's a poet, and she paints beautiful paintings with a paintbrush. Help me, Jesus. Maybe she does use a toothbrush, but a paintbrush. Fixed in her teeth because she's totally paralyzed from the neck down. She was paralyzed due to a diving accident. She was an athlete when she was a teenager, and she broke her neck. And she's been paralyzed ever since from the neck down. And she wrote this article, and I want to read part of it for you because I really think it speaks to what I'm trying to speak to this morning concerning joy. The title of her article is Joy Hard Won. And she writes, honesty is always the best policy, but especially when you're surrounded by a crowd of women in a restroom during a break at a Christian women's conference. One woman putting on her lipstick said, oh, Johnny, you always look like you have it together. You're so happy in that wheelchair. I wish I had your joy. Several women nodded. How do you do it, Johnny? As she capped her lipstick capsule. I don't do it, she said. In fact, may I tell you honestly how I woke up this morning? This is my average day. She took a deep breath and she continued to talk to these women. She said, after my husband Ken leaves for work at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm alone until I hear the front door open at 7 o'clock. That's when a friend arrives to get me up out of bed. And while I listen to her make coffee, I pray, oh Lord, my friend will soon give me a bath. She'll help me get dressed. She'll sit me up in a chair. She'll brush my teeth. She'll brush my hair. And she'll send me out the door. And I think to myself, I don't have the strength to face this routine one more time. I can't do it. I have no resources. I don't have a smile to take into my day, but you do, Lord. May I have your smile, God. I need you so desperately. One of the women in the restroom responded to Johnny, so what happens when your friend comes through the bedroom door? And Johnny responded, I turn my head toward her and I give her a big smile sent straight from heaven. It's not mine, it's God's. And so I said, gesturing to my paralyzed legs, whatever joy you see today was hard won this morning. Wow. Wow. You know, sometimes I wonder, why do I complain so much? My wife will tell you, I'm a complainer. Not all the time, but I have my share of complaining. And when I read stories like this, I wonder to myself, what the heck are you complaining about? Wow. And so she ends this article by saying, I have learned the weaker we are, the more we need to lean on God. And the more we lean on God, the stronger we discover Him to be, the one whom we lean on. Isn't that the truth? that when you're going through those trials and those challenges and those hard times and there's nothing to lean on, you certainly can't stand up. You rest on Him. And He holds you up. You see, joy is not the same as happiness. We've got to distinguish between the two. Happiness is based and results and based on our circumstances. Joy is based on our relationship, not our circumstances. Jesus didn't pray that we would merely be happy. He prayed that we would have His joy in all circumstances. Johnny Erickson Tada knew what unspeakable joy was all about, and it was hard won. It didn't come easy. So we're not going to make believe and put on that happy face and try to be an actor. Because did you know in the original Greek, actor is translated into the English word hypocrite, who changes one's mask. And that's not what God is asking for us to do. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with the Father through the Son, with the indwelling of His Spirit in our lives. Circumstances in our lives, remember this, friends, circumstances in our lives cannot change our relationship with God. And I think I said this last week, God loves you and there's nothing you could do about it. Nothing. Imagine the Apostle Paul writing for us to be joyful always, to be thankful in all circumstances. You know, I've read in Scripture, count it a pure joy when you face all these trials. And I thought to myself, Lord, don't make me so joyful. Lighten up on the trials. But Paul meant it. And you know where I discovered this the most? In the book of Acts. I read in just this week, I read in Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas were facing a very difficult circumstance in their lives. They were falsely accused. They were arrested. They were thrown in a dark, dismal, damp prison. They were in this cell in a prison. It was a joy stealer, I would think, if I was in a dark, dismal prison and falsely accused. Were they happy about their prison experience? Of course not. That would be foolish. But they refused to allow their circumstances to rob them of their joy. They didn't blame God. They didn't blame other people. Instead, they chose to praise God and to sing His praises in that jail cell. Now, we know from the text they received a miracle and they were released from the prison. But even if they weren't released from that prison, Paul and Silas would have continued to praise their God, because a prison experience could not rob them of their relationship with Jesus Christ. The real miracle was Paul's life and what God did with his life. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee. Paul was a persecutor of the Christians in the early church. Paul held all the garments of the men who stoned the first martyr of the church, Stephen. He was right there, gleaming over the death of Stephen. And God took his life and changed it. And it was a miracle. We need to see the miracle in our own lives, friends. We need to see what God's done in our lives, where we were, where we are, and where we're headed. I know the Bible says, put your hand to the plow and don't look back, but every now and then I encourage people, take a look back every now and then and see where God has taken you from, where you used to be, who you used to be, what you used to do, how you used to think, how you used to behave, and the changes that He's made in your life over the years. Look back once in a while. There is something to be learned from Paul and Silas, because they provide us with an example how we should never allow difficult circumstances to rob us of our joy, knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. We need to pray. And I wrote a little prayer here. Lord, let your Holy Spirit fill me with unquenchable joy, so that others will see the miracle that you have performed in my life. Especially when I'm tempted and I'm tested and I face trials of many kinds. See, when we face those trials, friends, that's not the time to run away from the Lord. That's the time to run to Him. Run to Him in your trials. Now, I'm sure, my friends, that each and every one of you, and maybe some more than others, have experienced some great trials in your life. Trials that appeared as if everything around you in your life was collapsing, as if your feet were on sinking sand and not a solid rock. I am sure some of you seated in this sanctuary this morning have gone to bed at night where your minds were racing out of control because you could find peace nowhere. I know what that feels like. I've been there. I've got the T-shirt. I'm not making light of that. I am not insinuating this morning, oh, just forget about it and move on with your life. No, I'm not. No, God always wants us to face our challenges, face our trials, face those circumstances. Don't bury your head in the sand. Realize that that is a human emotion that God has given us, that when we face something so desperate, we do have feelings of being in despair and disappointment and disbelief and even depression or despondency. That is a normal human reaction. And if you don't feel that, there's something wrong. I was in the company of a woman who had lost her husband. And another woman in Fellowship Hall, well-meaning, well-intentioned, folks. This wasn't a mean woman. She says, you know what, Gloria? You need to just get on with your life. Really? Her life partner? The one that completed her? Lost? And just get on with your life? That's not the answer. And so I had Gloria ask me one day, Pastor, when will I stop grieving? And I said, never. You're always going to grieve. You're always going to miss your husband. But God will just make you stronger each day in your grief. Don't deny your grief. It's real. Don't just get on with your life. You see the difference? You're not burying your head in the sand. You're facing it head on with God. You're leaning on Him because you can lean on Him. And He'll hold you up when you're going through that circumstance. God wants for us to experience joy in all of our circumstances. And our circumstances should never dictate our joy. Worry and depression and joylessness will never do anything good for us. It won't fix the problem. What Paul was saying in his letters to the churches, what Jesus was saying to his disciples and to us here this morning, is that they want for us to have joy abundantly and consistently, regardless of our circumstances. They don't want us to live our lives on a roller coaster. Have you ever lived your life that way? One day you're up, whoopee! The next day you're down here. Whoopee. And you live this roller coaster life. Who wants to live that way? Certainly God doesn't want us to live that way. And I'm not suggesting we're going to whoopee our way through life every day. But He certainly doesn't want us down here every day. We need to learn how to live our lives like Joni Erickson Tada lives her life. And you know how she lives her life? She takes one day at a time. One day at a time. You ever hear that song? One day at a time, sweet Jesus. Don't think too far in the future. Live in the moment. Live in the day that God has given you and me. There is plenty of grace to go around today for you and me. I love what David writes in Psalm 118. He says, this is the day. And I'm going to add emphasis today. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in today. Jesus says, tomorrow's got enough problems to worry about. Stick around today. Make today a good day. Let God's grace and joy work in your life and my life today. We'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes. But for now, hang out in today. You can't do anything about yesterday. It's gone. But you could certainly do something about today. Every day's a new day. It's a day we've never seen before, and it's a day we can never relive. And so every day is precious to us. And God wants to plant a fruit in us today. And the fruit that he wants to plant in your life and my life is the fruit of joy. Joy. You know why? Joyful people are attractive. Aren't they? You like being around grumpy people? My mother used to call my father Grump Puss. Because every now and then he'd get grumpy, like an old bear that you poke. And my mother was always upbeat. My wife will tell you, she was always upbeat. She was always upbeat. And I think that upset my dad, actually. He says, why don't you be miserable like me? Sorry, Dad. He really was a good guy. But people are attracted to joyful people. That's why the Lord wants us to be joyful, because he wants people to see us as joyful. Because why would I want to be like you if you're so grumpy? You imagine telling a coworker, yeah, I go to church every Sunday. I serve on 3 committees. Yeah, well, remind me not to go to church on Sunday. I'm getting 12 bagels and the Sunday news, and I'm staying home. You know, later on in Philippians 4, Paul writes, I've learned to be content in all circumstances. He knew, he said, what it meant to have little, and he knew what it meant to have an abundance. He either lived rich or poor. He says, I learned how to face every single circumstance in my life, every situation, every challenge, every setback. How did he learn how to live with that? Because he faced all of his circumstances with Christ. In Christ and through Christ, I could do all things. And Paul believed it. For the Christian, joy is more than an emotion. Joy is a tool that God gives us to overcome our circumstances and empower us to get over and above our sorrows and the challenges that we face in life. And so I end with a story. Somebody over the years I've grown to truly respect. I think, Martha, you might appreciate this person. The choir, you may appreciate this person. A great hymn writer, Fanny Crosby. What an exceptional woman of God. She's written over 8,000 hymns. Many of them are in your hymn books that are in front of you in your pew. 8,000 hymns she wrote. Blessed Assurance, To God Be the Glory. But do you know Fanny was blind since she was a baby? Blind. When she was 8 years old, she penned this poem. Friends, listen to this poem. Written by an 8-year-old. 8-year-old. She says, oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. 8 years old. It's powerful. Friends, this is truly the day the Lord has made. And I pray that in each and every day we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. Gracious God, I think of Johnny Erickson Tata strapped to a wheelchair. I think of Fanny Crosby, blind since a baby, and yet both of them had the joy of the Lord hard won every day. What is our excuse? I pray that you would fill us with your joy until it overflows and people will catch it And perhaps they too will have their lives changed through Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.